Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Now time for a very call to action edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey. I have a mic arm. It is official. I am the best podcaster in the world.
That's all it took.
That's all it took. I was stifling myself by not having this arm. This very old, you know, what really bugs me about this is like super old technology. You think the mic arm would have improved by now, but no, it's just like a bunch of screws and pieces of metal just sort of like taped together.
So the mic arm doesn't need improvement. Like, it's a perfect piece of machinery.
But no, eventually it'll give out. The springs give out, the hinges give out. Like, it's just a matter of time. That's Basher, by the way.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm here for the first time. Maybe the last time.
For the first time. The last time, he says. Well, that's just sad. I didn't get you anything.
I'm all right, man. Like, you never get me anything. What else is new? That's why I'm leaving.
I think I gave you Game Pass for like 2 months. Does that count?
Did I win it on this show?
No, I just happened to have it.
Oh, okay. All right. That seems accurate.
So... there you go. Speaking of Xbox Game Pass, if you want to win 1 month of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, all you got to do is leave us a review, then shoot us a message. You can either email us gpopfans@gmail.com or give us a call 574-651-9256. So all you got to do, leave a review on iTunes. Let me know that you did it. Once it posts, you'll win a month. That's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. It might be the easiest month of Game Pass you've ever. I know. Look, okay. I know some of you out there do the Bing rewards like me. Okay. All you do is You do your little dailies and then you just Bing the letter L 100 times. We all do it. That takes like 2 to 3 weeks to get 1 month of Game Pass Ultimate. This will take significantly less time. That's all you got to do. But that's not here. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Call of the Sea.
This is what? Wait, what? We're not doing Call of Duty again?
I mean, I guess we can.
I mean, if not, I played the wrong game.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. No, we're here to talk about Call of the Sea. This is developed by Out of the Blue Games, known for Call of the Sea. This is their first game. This is a developer based out of Spain. Regular price at $19.99 is a first-person adventure game available on Xbox and PC. There is no DLC. It does have Xbox One X and Xbox Series X and S support, so no matter what Xbox you're playing on, you got native support. One of the few games out there that does it. So I'll talk about performance and stuff like that, but narrowing that down is a little difficult. I believe on Xbox One X, you're getting a 30 frame rate cap at not true 4K, but it's somewhere under 4K, whereas Xbox Series X, you are getting a 4K 60, and then Series S, I believe, is a 1440 60. So that none of that is actually confirmed. It took a lot of trying to figure that out, but that is just a lot of people's guesses. So, but no matter what, you are getting support for all you Series X owners out there. And it's only on Xbox and PC right now. You can't play this anywhere else. So it's one of those few launch exclusives. I definitely believe this will come to PlayStation, Switch, above. Call of the Sea. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Call of the Sea is an adventure game.
They don't make a lot of these anymore.
This should come back to making a lot of these again. I enjoy me a good adventure game.
Okay, well, hang on. I want to say, are they? They're still making these, but I feel like they're becoming harder and harder to discern which ones are good and which ones are bad.
I think that's going to be part of our challenge today, because I believe we played a venture game or two on here before, and they were quite bad, if I remember.
Like Night Call.
Yeah, Night Call.
So the premise of this one, it's the 30s. You reach an island, basically. You play as Nora. She's looking for her husband, and she goes to this island because he was going there to basically look for a cure for her. She has some type of illness or disease, and all you really know is that she's got these black spots on her hands, and she's not quite sure what it is. It's voiced by Chrissy Jones, who was very popular in Firewatch, which is also a first-person adventure game, as well as Walking Dead Season 1. It's Sissy Jones. So the premise is pretty basic, but it is I think that's the case for most adventure games. It's usually a very basic premise, but it's how it plays out. If it plays out well, that's where these games kind of shine.
Yeah, like the story is usually basic, but it's usually hinges on a few things. The gameplay, which... talk about point and click adventure game, it sounds pretty basic in general, but there are levels to that game. But usually it hinges on the gameplay, a lot of times the art style, and for me personally, the aesthetic. But by that I mean, like, the Sam and Max games are very funny, and my favorite point and click games are usually have this kind of humor to it, or they go the other way and they kind of what's the word I'm looking for, like, not cyberpunky but noir like games, and it's kind of dreadful, kind of Max Payne like settings. This, however, is this is an interesting aesthetic for me, because when you first boot it up, the first thing you notice is I think incredible art style. Like, it is, this game is dripping with some style.
On Series X, I mean, it's pushing it. They are using that console to its max. I mean, and I don't want to say that as in, like, this game is like jaw dropping, but it looks very, very good, and it is a very clean image. It's using Unreal Engine 4, which, you know, it's always kind of amazing to see UE4 sort of pull off color. I know that probably still sounds kind of weird, but UE just always has this look to it, and as they've improved that engine, more and more games are taking advantage, but it's really hit in its stride here of that. This engine is capable of doing some awesome things, so.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. Like, the color is really what kind of pops, and a lot of times you get these games where the style... I mean, we just played... Unruly Heroes, where the style was there, but the colors seemed muted. Nothing seemed to really pop out. Whereas, like, this game is like a walking, like a moving comic book almost, and it's just super stylized, and I really dig it. It's one of the first things you notice.
I want to say, like, it's like that through the whole thing. The aesthetic of the island isn't exactly, it doesn't change drastically. But there are changes. You do go to other areas that are not just a tropical setting. And it holds that style through the whole game, which is very important to me, because it's just, you very easily could have just made a big island, you know, and just walked around and it's all kind of the same thing. But they very clearly had not only an art style in mind, but the game starts going places in terms of sort of like ancient civilizations, as well as like different types of humanoid style creatures. And it's all portrayed through the art in very, very convincing ways. I think it's I was kind of shocked to see that, honestly. Like the depth of the art from this team, like they very clearly care about it. And it shows, and not just how good it looks, but just the variety that you get from not a very long game. It was only, you know, depending on the puzzles, you know, you can get stuck, you know, but you could beat it in 4 hours. You know, it's not crazy long. So,
and to piggyback off that, one of the reasons it's not super long is it's one of those adventure games where they do the puzzles right. The puzzles are extremely smart, and they're slick, and it matches with the style of the game. And what I mean by that is, this isn't one of those adventure games that gets it wrong, where it's like, I need a key to open up this door, so I'm going to mix my water with my like t-shirt and somehow make a key. It's like, wait, I would never have thought to do that. None of that makes sense. Whereas the puzzles in this are, I would describe them as easy in a good way. Like, this is very sensible. You see where things, why things happen. I think, and that's very important to me in an adventure game.
I kind of classify it as the words that come to mind is the where the heck do I go kind of game when it comes to adventure games. And that's kind of what I feel like you described in the first part. But then there's like kind of the secondary genre inside the adventure game. It's more of a detective style. And what I mean by that is there is a little bit, probably not in this game, but every once in a while there are games that are more detective style that has a little bit of the what do I combine to go forward. Whereas this is very much a, you need to find stuff in the world, and once you find it, when you find the important things, it makes note of it. And you've got like a journal, and you can go to that journal, and you can always go back to it, and it always presents the information that you found that's important to you. Whereas a lot of times where these games can go very, very wrong is that you just don't know what to do. Like, it seems so basic, but it's just, you just don't know what to do sometimes because you haven't found the thing, you haven't mixed the right thing, or you found some information you think is important, but it's not. And I don't think this game is perfect in that sense. There, as we keep talking a little bit more, I'll get into it. But I think, you know, like you said, it's, for the most part, it does it right. It presents information in a good way to where if you get stuck, you more than likely can at least figure it out, or you have the information to figure it out. It makes it very difficult to just get straight up just bamboozled, I guess you could say.
No, and I think what they do to get out of that trapping, and it's something more modern adventure game. Well, I'm going to say pretty much every modern adventure game does now. You get very few of the other ones where they kind of let you. Because when it comes to these adventure games, I'm not afraid to get lost. As long as I can find my way, and when I find my way, I'm not feeling like, really, that was it. Like, as long as it makes sense to me, as long as it makes sense to the story and the narrative, then you got me hooked. You got me in. I think what Call of the Sea does to remedy that or kind of sidestep that issue is something that a lot of adventure games do now. And it makes itself a little more linear. Instead of giving you a citywide area to play around in, it gives you more of a district to play in, and then once you solve that district, it's on to the next district. And you know, and none of them are too big or too small. It's always just the right size to where you can find a few things here and there, take it to the puzzle machine, solve the puzzle machine, and then you're off to the next event, to the next part. And I think putting it in chunks like that makes it very digestible, and it makes it very accessible.
Right. The puzzles then can stand out, basically, because I feel like when you have such a vast area to sort of have opportunities, it makes it very easy to not only miss things, but it can make it very difficult to sort of remember things. Like I saw this thing here. I now have the thing that I need, but I don't remember where I saw it, or maybe I don't have the thing that I need, and I don't know where I'm supposed to look. And so when you eliminate all those factors, it just, like you said, it makes it easier to digest. And while, like, one of my favorite adventure games that I was crazy surprise was the remake of King's Quest. And they kind of had that thing, but it was kind of in between where each of the five chapters was its own individual chapter. But each one, you could play it for 2 to 3 hours, you know, of trying to figure it out. And it wasn't massive, but it wasn't small either. Whereas this is definitely more on the small side. There's six different chapters, but like you said, each one is its own individual puzzle center, I guess you could call it. But yeah, so no, I agree. I think that aided me a lot in pushing through this game. And that's not a negative, but it was nice knowing that, like, when I finished a chapter, I could put it down and I could come back to it later, and I wouldn't have to be afraid of missing anything. And sometimes when you play those old adventure games, like, you almost have to marathon them, because if you don't, or if maybe I'm just dumb, but I'm like, if I don't finish this, I'm not going to remember. Like, I am not going to remember half of this game. So I think it makes a lot of sense to make it like that.
I mean, and that's when it comes down to different styles and preferences. Because for me, it's it's too easy to screw up either or. And for a game like this, they did it right. I'm trying to think of the other adventure game we played that was I want to say I'm not gonna remember the name of this game. We passed when it was terrible. It looked like card. It almost looked like cutout graphics. People were cut out. It was mostly brown and it was very small.
It was, what was that? Apocalypsis.
Yeah. Like that. In a That's similar bad. Way to call it, yeah, very bad.
That's bad.
In a very similar way to Call of the Sea, it puts the gameplay into chunks. So you saw this area, then you moved to the next area. But it did it, as you clearly stated, terribly. Yeah. Call of the Sea does it a lot better.
Yeah, it was. That is the exact opposite of this game. So no, before we get onto some of my negatives, like, obviously the story is sort of the glue that holds us all together as well. And it's hard to talk about without spoiling, because, and I'm not going to spoil it. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just, it goes places. It definitely does not hold any punches. It has a story it wants to tell, and it gets there in sort of weird ways, but it's a coherent way. From start to finish, there's clearly a mystery, and you are finding things out, and if you go looking for things, you can get more of the story. But even if you don't find the things, by the end of it, you will have a very clear picture of what's going on. And I think that's super important. And I said, like, I'm not going to...
It reminds me of, honestly, a better Uncharted in that sense, because yeah. I don't know if you played Uncharted, you're familiar with the idea of it's just a regular adventure game, and then all of a sudden halfway through act three,
right,
there's aliens and zombies and monsters and some crap happening. There's a turn here in the story, but it happens on such a natural, gradual basis to where you're like, oh, this is where we're going, and you get more and more into it.
Yeah, it's very good at dropping hints of what's going to happen. So when it happens, it's weird. Like, again, I'm not going to say that it doesn't go places, because it does. But it for whatever reason, because of the way that they position the story and the way that they drop hints, that you're just kind of like, all right, like, I'm on board. Like, I'm cool with this. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it. But there are a couple things that I didn't love about it. And I guess this is a minor spoiler, so I guess 30 seconds ahead if you don't want to know. The game does end with a choice, so there are multiple endings. And the ending I picked was the one I thought I should go with, but it reminded me a lot of Life is Strange, because Life is Strange was all about choices, but there was two choices to the end of that game. And one of them seemed like the right one, and one of them definitely seemed like the wrong one. And if you watch them and you play them back, one of them has significantly more depth to it, where the other one is just kind of like a 30-second, like, all right, we're done. And so it's just like, you get, like, why give me the choice if there's clearly a choice that you fleshed out? And I really feel like that here. I really feel like one of the choices made a lot of sense. And the other one, it's not that it didn't make sense. It seems like they really thought about one of the endings more than the other. So obviously that'll be, you know, up to the person, whether or not they agree. But yeah, that was the one thing about the story that, but it's not really a negative, because I picked the one that I thought made sense. And that was the one that had more depth and more writing to it. So I got a good ending, but I could definitely see if somebody picked the other one and they don't take the time to look up the other ending or go back and play the last level or whatever. I think you could just be like, oh, all right, well, that's kind of weird. Like, I guess it's over kind of thing.
Yeah. There's a trend in gaming where I feel like developers are starting to feel like we're adding more to replayability by adding more endings. But when really all you're doing is making me play again from my last save file.
Right. Like, unless you know it's coming and you don't, and you make a save, you've got to play the whole last level again.
Right. I mean, and that's usually what it comes down to. You're just playing a certain portion over again. And to me, that doesn't add gameplay or story depth. I'd rather you be very upfront with me, like I'd rather you be more clear with it, like an Infamous, where it's like, we're not going to BS you here. You have a good ending and a bad ending. The bad ending, you're just a bad guy. The good ending, you're just a good guy. Neither one of them have any super depth to it. It's just like however you want to play it the first time, then you play it again the second time that way. Whereas like you have games like Mass Effect, for example, where it's like, it doesn't matter what you did all game at all. And right. but they try to portray it like it did. Like, right.
Yeah.
But they try to portray like everything you did mattered. And luckily, this game doesn't do that per se. It doesn't really beat you across the head with every single thing you do here has a consequence involved. Like, no, you're just playing through the game. There's no real choices throughout the game. That's why when it pops up, you're like, why now? And right. It doesn't really fit.
Yeah, So again, it's not a deal breaker by any means. But it was something that definitely stuck out to me. So now the one thing that could be a deal breaker for some. I don't know, you know, we talked about this and I said, all right, I'm on chapter 2 and I'm stuck. Like, I am straight stuck. I cannot figure it out. And I wanted to see, how far you got before, or if you even got stuck, but that's in the modern day of video games, obviously I could look up a strategy guide, a playthrough, whatever. And I ended up having to do that. And even after knowing the solution, I still don't quite get it. Like I clearly have all the information that the game wants me to have. It basically amounted to, I needed to sort of match pictures. Like I needed to take like context clues or some type of clue and make a guess. And I just didn't get it. I tried for a good 45 minutes to an hour before I was just like, I'm not getting this here. I don't get it. And is that a negative? Because we do live in the modern era and simply Google search and be done with it. But I'm curious how far you got or if you got stuck.
I'm guessing you're talking about the eye puzzle.
The what one?
Are you talking about the eye puzzle in chapter 2?
It's a totem puzzle.
Oh, the totem one. Before the eye. We have to basically make the turn the four rows.
Right. Right, and then you basically have the four pictures, and
yeah.
they give you kind of clues, but I just didn't get it. Like,
I think you had a brain fart moment there, because that puzzle for me solidified the feeling of, great, they're not, they have good puzzles in here that are essentially clear enough to, whereas you're not thinking too outside the box, whereas outside the boundaries of the game, like it's pretty cut and dry, I thought. But I think you might have just had a brain fart on that one.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe off the air we'll talk, because I'm still, it still frustrates me because I'm looking at it and I'm like, I feel like I should get this. Like, like I feel like
one of the simpler puzzles. Obvious.
Like the idea is simple, but I just could not figure out what it wanted me to, like, I know what it wanted me to do, but the pictures and matching them to the totems, I just didn't get it. I was like, none of these match in any real way. So, but no, the burning puzzle, that was difficult, but I had all the information that I needed. So like, it took me a little while to figure it out, but it was a process of figuring it out. You know, whereas right. I think the totem one, yeah, it was a little bit more deducing. So, I mean, so clearly your mileage may vary on that. I'm apparently dumb and someone else figured it out and had no issues. So maybe it's not a negative at all. But yeah, so
which is
go.
The nature of adventure games, really. I mean, I remember playing Disco Elysium and just kind of being stuck in. When I was describing, because a friend of mine walked to my room and I was playing a game, I was describing, like, I've just been walking around, like, in a circle here. Because as I described what I was looking for was happening, she just made, like, a common sense kind of comment. Without knowing anything about the game or being a gamer at all, he's just like, did you try looking over there or over here thing? I'm like, huh. Like, so sometimes you might just be in. Too deep into the, right. to like that run.
It's like a magic trick. Like usually the, right. the solution is right in front of you, but you're too busy looking for it that you just don't see.
Exactly.
It,
so. Yeah. Like one thing I give this game credit for is it's not one of those adventure games that you walk into a room and you're just like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to click everything until a hand pops up or a prompt pops up. It does a good job of teaching you what may or may not be a clue. It does a good job of telling you this is just backstory. This is just an addition to the story, whereas this is a clue, so we're going to write this down. This is going in your notebook. So it takes some liberties and making the game more accessible in a way that isn't dumb. I thought that was very important.
Yeah, and it is. Like I said, I think the fact that the journal it sort of autofills itself when you find something important is just extremely it's like it is extremely smart, but at the same time it's just extremely helpful because it lets you focus on exactly what you need to focus on. So but yeah, I think the only other thing that I can say, and this is 100% a negative, but it wasn't too bad. But frame rate on the Series X is not great. In terms of it has a 60 frames cap, but it fluctuates probably from 30 to 60 consistently.
That's never gross.
Yeah, it is a never solid 60. It looks really good, but it just seems like it just needed a little bit more time and optimization or something. But what is nice is that it's not a lock 30 and fluctuating. So it's never unplayable. It never feels gross. But if you are like me and you are very aware of when a frame rate is just constantly going up and down, up and down, up and down, it can be just a little annoying. So I cannot comment on the Series S or the One X, but yeah, so while the game does look really good, frame rate needs a little bit of work. So what's interesting is the later part of the game actually has, I think, less problems. And I think that's more because a lot of the environments are a little bit more closed off. Whereas the earlier environments are a little bit more open. So, it actually gets better as the game goes on. I just want to put that out there. So
that's interesting because the game looks like you said, the game looks, it's a gorgeous looking game, but it's not demanding. So that's just,
no.
That's,
yeah. I think it's a memory thing. Cause there's a lot on screen. I mean, like I said, there's one thing is as these new consoles have hit and we're sort of playing these sort of, cross-gen games, pop in and pop up is just a man. That's become a problem, right? Like, pop-in has become such a problem on a lot of these games, and texture filtering, and just like, if I don't know the word to use. Like, a lot of people don't notice it, right? Like, or they notice pop in, or they notice texture filtering, and it doesn't bother them. But for me, since I know it's there,
how does like, it not bother you?
Yeah, it drives. I don't understand how, but it doesn't make sense to me. Where this game doesn't have that issue. Pop in is not an issue. Texture filtering not an issue. So it, at least on the Series X. So it just seems like there's. It is so focused on making sure that the visuals are clean and looking good that the frame rate takes a hit for it. But again, it's very important that it's a 30 to 60 and not a 30 below. I never had frame rate issues in terms of just like this is I can't play this right now. This isn't a Cyberpunk situation.
Bars.
And so yeah, but it is 100% noticeable. So but no, game looks really really good. So. Right, I think we've talked enough about it to render our verdict, and I think I don't think there's a lot of debate on this one. I think you should play this game.
Yeah, start to finish the game. It kind of grabs you gradually into the world, and it's one of those adventure games where, as we said before, you don't have to worry about getting lost or spending too much time in certain areas per se. Like, you can really kind of jump in, jump out, get the story piece by piece, and then by the end of it, in about 4 hours, you've had yourself hopefully a pretty nice time. So yeah, this is definitely one you pass on to your friends.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a huge thing for me is the runtime of it. It is not crazy long. And if you do get stuck like me and you're dumb like me, the walkthroughs and stuff, because of the way the puzzles are set up, it's very easy to find where you are because of the chapters. You can definitely be like, I'm in chapter 2 and I'm stuck here, you know, and you can find that help for you. And that's just a modern technology thing. And I really only had to do that twice, if I remember correctly. There was chapter 2, and then there was one part I guess this is also a problem. I did have an issue in the final chapter to where something got bugged. I needed to press a button, and it basically sort of rolled out these big metal or big stone plates. And I pressed the button, and they rolled out, but then they froze. Like, and so I had to reload my game and do that again. So it wasn't an issue for me. Like, in terms of basically what happened was, is I wanted to make sure that wasn't supposed to happen. So I did look up like what it looked like when the other person pressed this button, and it, sure enough, those plates did roll all the way to where they were supposed to. So again, mileage may vary, but I don't think it's going to be, again, not a Cyberpunk situation. This game is not broken by any means.
Look, how dare you? I am playing Cyberpunk right now. I'm getting a solid
8 frames?
When I play it on medium, I'm getting a great 27 to 30 frames. When there's a lot of people, or I'm driving, or anything, or I'm just moving in general. And then popping only happens all the time. Like, only all the time.
For you.
Like, Jesus, it's the worst.
This is not about Cyberpunk. This is about Call of the Sea, which, when it comes to Call of the Sea on Game Pass or Pass, we can officially say, play this one, pass it on to your friends, have a good, grand old time.
Good day, sirs.
Yeah, I think that's all. You can't get ahead of me. You can't do
your sign-off. I thought we were done. I thought you were clearly, listen, I thought I was the Paul Walker of this relationship, where I just leave early.
Wow. Too soon. That's going to do this episode. Next episode is actually our last game of the year, because after that, we're going to be doing our game of the year. And the last game was a spin game, a game we spun for, and it was Death's Gambit. So that's going to be the final game of the year. And then after that, we'll be doing our game of the year, which I just said. And that's going to be that. I'm going to... Okay. This is news to Basher. What if
news to you? I already know the news.
What if I'm gonna say in January of 2021 we need to revisit a game? Do you know what game that is?
It's gonna be the one with the boats,
Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, the one with the boats.
Because that's cheating, technically. But in the modern era of games, where games are constantly updated and changed, this is mainly a selfish thing because I really, really, really want to love Sea of Thieves. And in some aspects, I do. But that game was so close to being phenomenal. It just had a couple flaws that, of course, were fixed relatively closely after that last episode. But not only has that come out, they've done a they're putting a season or a quote battle pass into that game. I think we need to check that out again.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not against that. I'm down for it. I'm just, if the same thing happens, if something, anything similar happens to what happened last time, and for you guys who didn't hear that episode, feel free to go back and listen to it. The long and short of it is, we went on a, what seemed to be a main quest line, if you will, and it took us a good 40 minutes to get to a certain part.
It was like two hours.
Oh my God. This makes it so much worse. After 2 hours, we die in a certain position. And then when we reload the game, you got to start that entire 2 hour process from scratch.
Yeah.
None of that saves. And I'm just like, no.
We were doing the Shroud Breaker, which I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically like a mythic quest or whatever. And of course, like I said, right after that, they added checkpoints and they added a save system. So clearly they knew it was a problem or people weren't happy with it. So, but no, I very much want to go check that game out again. And I also want to check out the Series X version because from what I understand, it is a very, very good version of that game. So I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I really want to check out that game again. So, but next year,
I mean, I'm down.
Yeah. So there you go. So at some point we'll be playing Sea of Thieves in January. I'm sure we'll do a spin on a game. And there's also some new Gears DLC that maybe I'll convince Basher to play too. So, but all right, that's going to do it for this episode. You can email us gpopfans@gmail.com. That's gpopfans@gmail.com. You can write us, text us, send us a voicemail, 574-651-9256. 574-651-9256. Again, please rate us on all your favorite podcast services. It really does help. I see the numbers. We have basically in the year 2020, and we'll talk more about this on the game of the year. We'll go over a couple of things, but we've more than doubled our output in terms of our input. What's the word I'm looking for? Fan base. Listeners.
Okay. There you go.
That's the word I'm looking for. We have doubled.
We doubled our output? Crap, I didn't know.
I mean, I guess we kind of did because we started in the middle of a year. So I guess technically we did. Point is, there. I know there's people out there. Let us know what you like, don't like, etc., etc. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We will see you next week with Death's Gambit. Now do your sign off.
Now can I say it?
Now do your sign off.
Good day, sirs.